All righty then, let's do this. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John, engineering and producing the show. Welcome to the Buckmaster program. It's Monday, March 11th, 2024. Had a busy weekend. Did a one-on-one interview over at the book festival. A ton of people. I don't know how many wind up going. It's well over 100,000. But you can check that out on my Facebook post. We're in our 14th year with the radio program, and we're coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the growing Bustos Media presence here in Tucson. Five radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of my shows. Pretty much 99.9% of the programs we've done over the last 13 years, all conveniently podcast available at buckmastershow.com. For our live line, for our telephone interviews, we thank Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And for our Monday one-on-one, we thank Mo and his family. Mo Gall, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors. We've got a couple of them at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Mo is a fantastic photographer. He sells his work at the gallery. They do wonderful picture framing. And if you don't want to put the piece up yourself, let Mo come out and make sure. Let him go up on the ladder and make sure it's up there the way you want it. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, next to Copenhagen. I don't get a... They're getting a free plug there. They're not a sponsor, but that's where they are, next to Copenhagen. And I'll also throw a free plug in for Mo's other neighbor now. Monsoon Chocolate has opened up over there in that center at Fort Law and Dodge. Mo, his website looks good, mosgallery.com. Well, last night was Oscar night, the 96th annual Oscars. I thought we would talk movies, one of my favorite subjects, love movies, with one of the most knowledgeable movie people I know on the subject, Robert Blum, my friend from Tucson's Casa Video, which last year celebrated its 40th anniversary. So this is Robert's second visit back to the program. We talked when Casa did the 40th anniversary. Hey, Robert, good to see you.
Good to be here. Thanks for joining. Having me join you.
I thought it was a pretty good show. I will admit I got in an hour late. Time change, you know, and the Oscars decided they were going to start earlier, and of course we changed to Pacific time. Mm-hmm. So I tuned in at 5. I missed the first hour, but maybe that was actually better because the Oscars usually go about 4 hours. But the set looked really good. It was, and I will put in a plug for a guy I worked with in San Jose, who is the assistant director now at all these big shows. His name's Guy Jones, and he's just such a great director, and he really put together a great show, and the simplicity of the set, it looked really elegant.
Oh, it was a beautiful show.
Yeah, let's go over the big picture. Oppenheimer was the big movie and was expected to win, and it did. It took home, what, 7 Oscars?
Seven statues, yes, sir.
So why don't you kind of go through your thoughts?
I enjoyed the film. It was Christopher Nolan's night.
Yep, the director, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, he won Best Director. They won Best Picture.
I liked his work with the movie Dunkirk. Christopher Nolan did a great job, but he's done other movies. I think you were telling me before we started 6 or 7 other movies.
Yes, he's been around for a while.
And his the Best Actor went to Cillian Murphy, I believe that's the Irish pronunciation, mm-hmm. for playing Dr. Oppenheimer, the famed physicist. And he's been with Nolan in some other movies, too.
Yes, from The Batman, from Prestige, from Dunkirk.
So Oppenheimer wins Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. Robert Downey Jr. Won Best Supporting Actor for Oppenheimer. And you talk about a guy who turned around his entire persona, his movie career with one film. He did a fantastic job in Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it was his first win out of 3 tries. He definitely deserved it.
So let's talk about next movie that won, I think, 4 statues, a film I had not heard of called Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
You said you saw it.
Yeah, I caught it at the loft. Beautiful film. Definitely different. Little sci-fi, a little magical. Emma Stone won for Best Actress. Great, great performance.
Boy, I would not have wanted to be in the limousine for Martin Scorsese after the Oscars last night. I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon was nominated for, what, 7 or 8 Oscars?
Mm-hmm.
And take home 0. Wow. They got shut out.
So did The Maestro. A lot of films went there, and they walked out with empty-handed.
And the cinematography with Oppenheimer, which won, and deservedly so. Oppenheimer's a long movie. It's 3.5 hours, and I'm sitting there after about 2 hours, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe that's a good ending spot. But it went on. And it harkens back to the day, though, of the big pictures that won Best Picture. There were a few years here where we had kind of lesser-known independent movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even some international ones, too.
And internationally, the Oscars are growing in prestige. And one of my questions for you, Robert Blum, is, do the Oscars still matter?
I'd say so. There are, in the past few years, we've had, like you said, independent films. The big studios get their movies out there, but they don't always win. Everyone has a voice nowadays.
Yeah, because we had a movie from that won Best Picture from South Korea a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's helped the brand, certainly the international presence of the Oscar. What are some of the things that you were surprised about? Some of the beside Killers that didn't really make an impression last night.
Well, I did have some stuff that I enjoyed. I thought. Mm-hmm. Tucson's own Cord Jefferson, the writer-director.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. That's a local story. Tell us about him.
Well, he's obviously from Tucson for his film American Fiction. He he won for Best Writing Adapted Screenplay. That was great. There was a lot of like feel-good moments. I'm a huge fan of the Godzilla franchise. Godzilla Minus One won their first Oscar for the franchise in 70 years. That was definitely sweet.
There have been a lot of Godzilla movies.
And
you were telling me at Casa Video you did a Godzilla movie fest, and it went on for a week.
It went on for like almost a year. We were doing a Godzilla.
Year.
Yes, we were doing a Godzilla film every Sunday. It was fun. We had a nice little crowd growing up, enjoying it.
So this is the first time Godzilla's really been. Recognized on more of a legit being for legit
From the Oscars.
Yeah, from the Oscars.
They've won lots of Japanese awards.
Uh huh. And the documentary was expected. I think that had run on part of the PBS. The 20 days in Mariupol.
Mm-hmm.
The Ukrainian movie, and you said that you kind of teared up a little bit last night with a couple of acceptance speeches.
Well, Emma Stone's speech was beautiful, and so was the Best Supporting Actress, Divine Joy Randolph. There's a lot of honesty there. It was lovely.
Emma Stone, it was her second Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. When we come back, Robert and I I asked Robert to put together his top 10 films, winners that go all the way back. 1927 was the first movie that won Best Picture, a movie called Wings. And it's kind of interesting because Robert's list and my list, there's not one overlap. He's got 10 films that he thinks are his favorites and are the best, and I've got 10. So we'll talk about that after I tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery, which is always a pleasure. Robert, you love bakery goods, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody loves Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery at northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They now have a liquor license, so they're doing—they're pouring the champagne with the orange juice for the mimosas. You can have a beer with your lunch, whatever. So Mona's taken Monday off, well deserved. They'll open tomorrow at doors open 6:30. Website monasdanishbakery.com. We're talking movies. It's the Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing Casa Videos. Robert Bloom is with me. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. One of the reasons I have my little laptop in front of me is when there is breaking news, and my friend Dylan Smith and Tucson Sentinel breaking this story. Kasachek, Steve Kasachek's resigning. Longtime Tucson City Councilman says he will resign on March 31st and begin working for Pima County on a public private partnership, the planned massive Mosaic Quarter, that's what it's called, Mosaic Quarter Sports Complex on the south side. County officials say that could generate billions with a B in total economic activity. So Steve Kasachek, who represents and has represented for a long time Ward 6 in Midtown, is going to resign. That story broken from our friends over at TucsonSentinel.com. Well, it is our Monday one-on-one. We're talking movies, very appropriately enough, in the wake of the 96th annual Oscars. So I asked my friend, Robert Bloom from Tucson's Casa Video, who knows just a ton about movies, to put together a list of the 10 best, in his opinion, 10 best pictures. But I'll get to Robert after I read my list. I'm starting, we'll go in kind of oldies to more of the current movies. 1941, Robert, great movie. How Green Was My Valley was a wonderful movie. I think this is the film that beat out Citizen Kane.
Wow.
There were a bunch of, that 1941 was an incredible year for film. So I put in How Green Was My Valley, 1941. Boy, the 40s, I really liked, I wasn't born until a little later in the late 40s, but who cannot put Casablanca on the list?
Everyone loves it.
Everyone loves Casablanca. I've probably seen it a dozen times, seeing Casablanca. Casablanca was released in 1943. I love the movie Best Years of Our Lives. This was the kind of coming home after World War II, the veterans, many of them just suffering from the post-traumatic stress. This 1946, Best Years of Our Lives, loved that movie. 1978, Deer Hunter, a young Robert De Niro,
yep.
Right, Robert?
Yeah.
In that movie. And Meryl Streep.
Yeah. An early Vietnam film.
Yeah, an early Vietnam movie. And Michael Cimino. Cimino was the director, who had kind of a controversial career. Mm-hmm. Heaven's Gate was the movie that kind of brought him down.
Yep.
Heaven's Gate, where he went so far, you know, tens of millions of dollars over budget. The movie came in at like 4 hours long. Yeah, Michael Cimino. Mm-hmm. But he had another couple of good movies. 1985, I loved the movie Out of Africa, which kind of, this movie inspired Ann and I to do some traveling. I think we took, in the end, 5 different trips to Africa. But because we saw Out of Africa and the shots from the East Africa, oh, man, we had to go. We had to go check it out. Another Vietnam movie that it makes my list, you can tell what generation I'm from. Right, John? 1986, Platoon. Great movie.
That almost made my list.
It almost made
your
list. Okay. Next year, 1987, The Last Emperor. Do you recall the director on that movie?
No.
Was it Bertolucci?
Oh, yeah. Bertolucci, I apologize.
He went on to make another really great movie called The Sheltering Sky, which was filmed in Morocco. All right, we're up to 1987. Then, still keeping with the chronological order, I've got 1994, the classic Forrest Gump.
It was iconic. It beat out some big films that year.
Do you recall some of those names?
Yeah, one of them being Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, beat out Pulp Fiction, okay. 1996, loved this movie, The English Patient. Great movie.
Famous. I know it won multiple Oscars that year.
Well, I think it won 7 or 8, probably
yeah.
About as many as Oppenheimer took home last night. All right, 1976, so I think I've got one more on my top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly contemporary movie, 2020, Nomadland.
Ah, yes.
Which took for a while for to be released in general, kind of for the general public, didn't it?
Unfortunately, from where I am, with the video store, it's still not on DVD or Blu-ray. You only could watch it through streaming.
Wow, I remember watching that on an airplane, but
yeah.
So it's still not available over
nope.
At Casa Video.
No, sir, unfortunately.
Okay, so there you have the Buckmaster top 10 of all-time movies. Now Robert Blum is going to give you a really different take than what you just heard from me.
To follow your lead, this is the Bloom top 10 list.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to start with 1972's The Godfather.
Okay.
What else can you say? It's iconic.
Yeah.
It won 3 Oscars. Should have won more.
It was on my secondary top 10
list.
There
you go.
Yep.
Then a little bit after, 1975's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
That one was one of the 3 films to win the 5 major Academy Awards of Picture, Actor, Actress, Director, and Screenplay. Still great film after all these years.
How did you say how many have in...
So 3 films have won that. One of them being... I forgot what the first one was.
Okay.
It Happened One Night was the first time to do it.
From 1936.
I believe so. Okay. Yeah. And then One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And then the third one is also on my list.
Okay.
The next one is 1976's Rocky.
Ooh, yeah.
Iconic film, the sports film.
Mm-hmm.
It only won 3 Oscars for Best Picture, Best Editing, and Best Director.
It didn't win Best. Song.
No, it did not.
Because you mentioned Rocky, and
exactly.
The first thing
Okay. And then the third film to win of the big best 5, 1991's The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great...
What a great film.
Following that, then this one is actually my favorite of the list, 1992's Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood's Western.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Morgan Freeman walked away with Best Supporting Actor.
Uh-huh.
Gene Hackman was amazing in it.
Yeah.
Then a little, to get a little, Lord of the Rings from 2003's Return of the King, the third of the trilogy. It walked away with 11 Oscar wins, tying
that maybe near the record. I was going to say,
yeah, it tied it.
Lawrence of Arabia.
No,
won 11.
I have it right here. It's
that's a lot.
Yes, it tied it with Titanic and Ben Hur.
Oh. Okay.
Those are the 2.
Okay, so that's a lot of Oscars.
So my last 4, definitely more contemporary. Mm-hmm. Martin Scorsese's 2006, The Departed.
Uh-huh.
Great film. He should have won, Martin should have won many Oscars throughout his career. To some people, this felt like it was just a token one, but it's still a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Following the year after, the Coen Brothers' 2007's No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And now these 2 are definitely more recent. We talked about international films. 2019's Parasite. Great film, dark, funny, but watch it. If you're not feeling something, you're not living.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year's feel good moment of the year, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, you love that movie.
Yes, the little movie that could.
I still haven't seen that movie.
I highly recommend it. I'll let you borrow it one day.
Okay.
But yeah, movies.
Did you have some films that didn't make your, like, I've got some that were crossed out here that were close to making my list. Again, I go back. You know, I love older movies.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchcock. Rebecca,
yeah,
1940.
Good one.
Also, Mrs. Miniver, 1942, about the London Blitz, and that was with Greer Garson. 1929, All Quiet on the Western Front, which they did the remake,
mm-hmm.
which was an incredible... Watched that about a month ago, the remake of that, which won a couple of Academy Awards, I think, last year for Best Sound, mm-hmm. maybe Set Direction, an incredibly powerful movie.
Some of my that were on my list that didn't make it, American Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
And all the, with the Chariots of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's another one. You say Chariots of Fire.
You hear it.
Yeah.
And then... He's not liked as much as he used to be. Mel Gibson's Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Great film.
Yeah. Gladiator won Best Picture.
Yes,
too,
it did.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, You love Wes Craven, right?
Yes.
And he won his first Oscar last night?
Unfortunately, that's not Wes Craven. Unfortunately, that's we're talking about Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson.
You know, those Wes's, they all seem alike.
Yeah. What did Anderson win?
So Wes won his first Oscar for the best live action short for the film The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. He's had his films up there nominated for Best Picture in the past. And he's they've won for like set design, but this is his first, single Oscar. Well, hopefully he'll get some more as we go along.
And there is a bunch of Oscar. Well, there's an Oscar section at Casa Video that
yes,
I love.
It is.
You've got a very extensive Casa has it's got pretty much everything. It's like a film historian's dream come true. Robert And you guys, we're talking about Mona's and their liquor license. You guys have had a liquor license for years now, and you're pouring a lot of different local beers, right?
Yes, we do. We have always have 20 beers on tap. We have hundreds of bottles and cans. Events going on just about every night of the week. We have food trucks just about every night of the week.
All right.
The bar is actually celebrating its 10th year anniversary this upcoming Christmas.
Very cool. And Casa Video now in its 41st year.
41st, yes.
All right, Robert Bloom, we will see you over at Casa Video. Always fun talking movies with you. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
The Monday One-on-One, today talking movies, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe'sGallery.com is their website. Moe's Gallery and Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Monday afternoon. Be right back. Yeah.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel Advisor today.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's a Monday afternoon. We are off and running on the new week. Want to talk about Green Things and Zocalo Village, 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. Perfect time of year to do your spring gardening. I was out in the garden yesterday. What a beautiful day. After I got back from my book fair one-on-one with Luke Russert, who is the son of the late Tim Russert from Meet the Press. He was the long time, 16 years, Tim, as the host, and then died of a heart attack. But anyway, his son, is who looks really just like him, has written a great book, and we did a one-on-one at the book festival and saw some of our listeners in attendance. I think we had about 300 people. In the room that we did that interview. But anyway, I got home and I did a little gardening and I thought, you know, Green Things, this is the perfect time to get over there. 3384 East River Road by the Rialto River. They're in their 53rd year of business. GreenThingsAZ.com, their sister business, ZocaloVillage.com. And they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's bring back now, and he is with me in studio, Dr. Robert Hendricks, lifelong educator, served as superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. How many years, Bob, were you there?
I was there for 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
As the superintendent?
No, 13.
13 there, but 16 with the district. He's also associate professor emeritus and associate dean of the University of Arizona College of Education, former Arizona School Superintendent of the Year, very active in the Tucson community still, president of the Interfaith Community Services, ICS, board of directors. ICS partners with over 120 faith communities, serving more than 52,000 individuals each year. And you had your big fundraiser, I think it was last weekend.
It was. Empty bowls.
Empty bowls.
Right.
Does everybody get a bowl if they donate?
Everybody gets a bowl. There are 1,200 participants
wow.
in the event.
And who makes the bowls?
We have a wonderful large group of potters
mm-hmm.
that individually make the bowls, and they're out on display, and everyone who comes in gets to pick a bowl of their choice. And
cool.
Bill, it's always sold out way ahead of time, at least a month before the event.
Uh-huh.
And every year it's in early March. So anybody thinks they'd like to be part of it next year, get a bowl, pick from at least 20 different choices of soup, baked goods, entertainment, fabulous, fabulous event.
Is and it what's the
very,
ven-
very
what's
reasonable
the venue?
Too. Excuse me?
What is the venue? Where is it?
It's at the Chinese Cultural Center.
Okay.
On River.
On River.
Yeah.
And you said it's very reasonable.
The admission this year was $35 a person.
That is reasonable.
I go to a lot of fundraisers,
yeah.
and that's a very reasonable price
yeah.
to come back with an absolutely beautiful bowl. I mean, it's just amazing what
uh-huh.
these bowls look like. And if I made some of them, it would be hard for me to part with them. They're
yeah.
just fabulous.
So you get soup?
You get soup. They don't serve the
yeah,
soup.
Yeah, not in your
no,
new
you
bowl.
No, you can't because it's a health department requirement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But there are things to eat with the
oh,
soup.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and lots of choices.
Wow, sounds like a great event. So think about that for next year. All right, let's talk education. What about cell phone usage now in schools?
Well, we've talked about this before, Bill, but it's really hit a high-speed speed bump right now because a lot of states are starting to look at it and are starting to legislate the banning of cell phones. I mean, can you imagine as an independent observer coming into a classroom and seeing kids on their phones, not necessarily talking on their phones, but listening to music or shopping online?
What? And in class, they're shopping online?
Playing video games, passing, you know, the old-fashioned passing the notes.
Yeah.
Well, we pass them electronically, can pass pictures electronically, and even placing bets, you know, on gambling apps and watching sports competitions. So,
talk about frustrating for the teachers.
Teachers are reporting these things happening, and they've said enough is enough.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, we need our administration to put their foot down and tell us what to do about these phones. And, you know, some districts have said, lock up the phones, turn them off, can't use them the entire day.
How would it work? Would the student go to their locker and just shut the phone down when they arrive at school?
They could. Now, not all school districts, not all schools have lockers anymore.
Right.
That lockers have become kind of an issue of safety.
So how would it work?
They could put in their backpacks, but they'd have to turn them off. But I think other teachers have found more innovative ways to deal with it. For example, I have seen these, it's like a hanging pocket that is numbered, where the students put their cell phone in the pocket
when they come
into the classroom.
That sounds good.
And so they can see that their phone's there all the time,
yeah,
but they can't use it.
Okay.
Other teachers have said, you can have the phone, but it's got to be out in front of me on the desk, face down. I want to be able to see it at all times. They might say, on the right-hand corner of your desk, I want to see that phone face down.
Face down.
And you are not to use it.
Okay.
Others have simply said, well, you've got to put it away, turn it off, but you can't use it. But There is an advantage of having access to a phone, because sometimes it can be used for a research project and so forth. So there might be periods of time when teachers actually would allow this.
So this is self-policing and not waiting for the state to issue a law saying no cell phones in the classroom.
It's interesting because when schools were surveyed, school districts said 77% of the nation's schools prohibit phones. Now listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Common Sense Media did a survey of kids. The kids, 97% of the kids said they can use their phones in the classroom. Part of the problem is, even if it's legislated within the school, teachers are not being consistent in the enforcement. Nobody wants to be the phone police.
No.
And it's complicated, but there are states that have stood firm on this. Oklahoma, Vermont, Kansas have all recently introduced phone-free school districts, and it's a law.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor of Utah is pushing his legislature right now to do the same thing. It's really a problem. Of course, you have the pushback from some parents that say, well, this is a safety issue. But I don't think parents really know how bad this has gotten. And it's one more thing that teachers have to contend in with the classroom. And, I mean, it's also one of the things that our legislature, surprisingly, hasn't tackled. They've tackled a lot of other things that we can talk about.
But this is moving forward, this piece of legislation.
They are.
It would ban the use of cell phone in public schools.
In public schools.
And what about, private, they can't do anything about.
They can't do anything about private. They can't do anything, of course, about homeschools. Now, some school districts have compromised and said no phones during the classroom, phone-free zones during lunch, which seems to me pretty reasonable. You know, go ahead and use your phone at lunch all you want.
Yeah,
use it before school, use it after school, When you walk into a classroom, that's the workplace, and that no phones can be used. Mm-hmm. And so different plans to implement that, but in my opinion, it needs to be implemented because this really is a distraction, and there's some studies that show that students are less likely to be engaged in lessons, which is very clear, and without the availability of phones, hopefully it'll be a better learning environment.
All right. Well, we continue with Dr. Robert Hendricks, the new proposals for the Pledge of Allegiance and the Ten Commandments. That's still to come with Dr. Robert Hendricks on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Man, the noon hour just flies by. We only got one segment left here with Dr. Robert Hendricks talking education. That was very enlightening about the new cell phone usage legislation. I'm just wondering if Governor Hobbs will sign that if it does get to her desk. I don't know. She might. And you're all in on it, right, Bob Hendricks, on the cell phone thing?
Oh, but Arizona's not really looking at it.
No.
I mean, I don't know if they will or not.
If it got to the point where
I would think so. I think this is something we could legitimately
say. But Arizona has said so far this has not come up.
We we don't appear to be looking at it. We're looking at other things.
But we've looked at just about every imaginable thing in the classroom. So, but this is what's going on around the country. So I was just kind of thinking, well, if Arizona, I wondered if the governor would ever sign something like that. But anyway, how about the Pledge of Allegiance? Is that required in public schools still?
Yes, and it's been on it's a statute. It's a revised statute that has been on the books for a number of years, and essentially what it says is that every day students in public Arizona schools are required to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and also there should be a moment of silence. Now, the moment of silence is non-prescriptive. In other words, it's for whatever the student wants to use that time for.
Say a prayer or whatever.
It's non-directive.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
But this has been on the books. But the latest provision that's being proposed by the House of Representatives says that in addition to that saying of the pledge, students who choose not to say the pledge, and there have always been students that for religious reasons or other reasons choose not to say it.
Have remained silent during that.
Remain civil, remain respectful during that period of time. They don't have to stand. But now this legislative proposal says if these students are going to do that, they're going to have written permission from their parents.
Wow.
If they're under the age of 18.
Oh.
Which is, so now it's not a quiet moment between teacher and student and classroom.
Yeah.
It's been formalized, it's being proposed to be formalized, and signatures must be obtained.
To opt out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the deal with the Ten Commandments?
Well,
what's the deal?
I'll
answer my own question.
This is another
proposal.
Hey,
Bill, it's been around for a long time.
This is not really sure how to totally explain this in a logical way, but the House of Representatives been very, very busy on these topics, has proposed with a majority vote that the Ten Commandments as a document be posted in the classroom, but they can't mandate it. And the reason they can't mandate it is that in 1980, there was a Supreme Court ruling where something similar was proposed in Kentucky.
Hmm.
And it was ruled against the state, saying that the display was essentially religious, and you can't do that. So what they're...
is that separation?
The legislature realizing that
separation
says,
of the church and state.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Okay. So the legislature has said we're not going to mandate it. It's just a suggestion option for teachers to post this in the classroom. And not only are we talking about posting that in the classroom, but we have other documents that have been recommended for posting as well, which were previously submitted and approved by the governor. But again, these are all options. The preamble to the Constitution, the national anthem, the Mayflower Compact.
Compact?
Yes, yes. And the national motto, In God We Trust.
Yeah.
So if a teacher elected to post all these, we're going to have a giant wall of posters. But again, these are all options.
Sure.
They're not mandated. And, Bill, I'm going to predict that even without the mandate, we're going to see a court case in this because I think it's really skirting the lines of whether it's legal or not. I'm not an attorney, but I say there's some real questions here as to whether you even suggested. And what's going to happen when a teacher chooses not to elect that option, and a parent says, why is this not on the wall in my child's classroom?
Oh, my goodness. Can you see that?
I can see it. I can see it happening.
Wow. Mayflower Compact is in there. Okay. We do have a couple of extra minutes. Do you want to tackle the third item we had talked about?
Let's talk about the...
ending the with the graduation testing requirement.
It's a revival.
Yeah, revival of it.
It's a revival of a situation that we had up until 2015. Used to be called the Ames Test. The Ames Test was a state-developed, state-generated test, and it was given as kind of a guideline as to what would be expected in the classroom.
The Ames Test, as I recall, was kind of the gold standard for quite a while, wasn't it?
Yes, because it was specifically tied to instructional objectives.
Yeah.
It was a state-driven test developed by educators and was used to help chart student progress. Now, the difference this time is that the suggestion has been made by Superintendent Horn that there be an exit test, which simply says you don't pass the test, you don't get a diploma.
Mm.
And the proposal in its current form says that students would have a chance to take this test four times from their junior year on. You keep taking it, and hopefully by the fourth time, you will pass. What's sort of interesting is, what is this test? This test is the ACT, which is, ACT stands for the American College the American College Testing System. Mm-hmm. And so there's no state, not a single state, that uses ACT
as an exit exam. Wow.
It was never written as an exit exam. Yeah. It was written as an entrance exam to college. One that, by the way, Bill, is not even used in any of our universities in the state. Mm. ACT is not required to enter college in Arizona.
I remember taking it a million years ago.
Well, I think a lot of people have. Either took the ACT or the SAT.
I think I had to take both, but
ACT would be used, and the only exceptions that are being proposed right now is if students are on a technical pathway, for example, what we would call the old vocational education.
Yeah.
If they're in that program and they're working towards a professional certificate, they would be excluded. Students who are in special needs, special education classes, they would be excluded. But those are the only exclusions at this point.
And what happens when the student has just put in 4 years of work and then fails the test?
Good question. Good question.
I mean,
in fact, even if you wanted to model it and you agreed with the European system, which, by the way, many European systems have an exit test, but that exit test takes place their sophomore year because it's essentially a tracking system. Mm-hmm. So if you don't pass the test, you have another track to go.
Yeah.
What track do you have to go when you reach the end of the line?
I don't know.
Does not make sense.
You know if this would have to be approved by the legislature?
It would have to be. It would have to be.
So now it's just a concept that Tom Horn has come up with.
It's a concept, but it's a concept that is greatly embraced by the
Republican
state Senate.
Legislature. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Ken Bennett, who heads the Education Committee, he's weighing in and saying, I think this is a good idea.
Hmm. I think it's about time to make a call and invite Mr. Bennett to be back.
I think that would be
on
good.
The show here. Wow, I didn't realize he was all in on this. All right, well, we're all in on running out of time, so we're going to have to say goodbye. Thank you very much.
A lot to cover today, Bill.
A lot to cover. Yes. Always a pleasure, okay. Dr. Robert Hendricks
good to
with
be
us.
Here.
Always a pleasure to have him on the program. And again, we thank our friend Robert Bloom. Talking movies. I enjoyed that for the first half hour of our program. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Monday edition. And we will be back with you in about 23 hours. On behalf of John, engineering and producing the program, Dr. Hendricks and Bill Buckmaster, all wishing everyone well.